Danielle Steele's Remembrance. An exquisite diamond pin in the shape of a shooting star sits on a red cloth. 1966, and the red of the cloth transforms into the red of poppies in a field. Starring Eva LaRue.
A flight from New York, a change of planes, and south from Paris to the Mediterranean coast. And finally, I was about to see the sister I had never really known. This is my mother's story as much as mine. My memories of her are as real as anything I can touch or see.
I want you to push me away. Get out!
Come back here.
Stop, you're hurting me!
The woman is now a young girl.
Mommy!
She remembers running down the stairs in her nightgown. Bottom, she finds her mother lying dead, with blood spilling from her head across the floor. The girl stares at her in horror. Now the police are on the scene. A smartly dressed man enters the house and looks on in shock as the dead woman's being zipped up in a body bag. A policeman comes up to him.
The little girl's upstairs.
The man drags his eyes away from the terrible scene. Upstairs, the young girl sits staring into space. He comes to stand in the doorway.
Vanessa?
He crouches down in front of her.
Vanessa? It's Uncle Teddy. I'm here now.
A smile spreads across her face.
Come with us, Uncle Teddy. We're going up for ice cream, okay?
Okay.
With tears in his eyes, Teddy hugs Vanessa tightly, then scoops her up into his arms and carries her from the room.
Uncle Teddy, who I'd always loved and trusted, and who was the only one left. Yet it all began so wonderfully, with so much promise.
New York City, 1946.
There are some memories that are not your own, yet you've heard so much about them that you feel as if you'd been there, part of everything that happened. Like the day my parents arrived in New York after the war.
Welcome to your new home, Mrs. Fullerton. Excited?
Yes, and scared.
Oh, don't be. You're going to love me, huh?
And it's going to love you right back.
They kiss and hold up the key.
Sorry.
He puts down both their passports on an immigration desk to be checked and stamped. Uncle Teddy arrives at the barriers and waves.
Brad
Fullerton doesn't hear him, but his wife does. And a moment passes between her and Teddy, before the passports are handed back to Brad, and he ushers her off through the crowd.
Teddy!
Hey!
Look at you! Grown up! How'd you get in here?
Dad pulled some strings. Great to see you, soldier. How you doing?
Serena? My kid brother.
The genius of the family. He got all the brains and the humor and the good looks.
Maybe I married the wrong brother.
Probably.
Oh.
But I will settle for a kiss from a beautiful bride. With your permission.
Please. No. Well,
sorry.
Let's get our bags, get out of this war zone. Come on.
They join the three people passing through the gates.
Passengers with luggage proceed to customs area.
Look at you, full colonel. I'm really proud. We all are.
Even mother?
Well, you know, Mom.
Hey, there's our bags. Oh, excuse me.
I guess Brad's told you that Mother wasn't too excited about his decision to make the Army his career.
Well, from what Brad's told me about her, she sounds...
Oh, don't worry. She's gonna fall in love with you. The way I bet everybody does. Hey, are you really a princess?
Well, now that I'm in America, I'm not sure that matters anymore.
No, not when you look the way you do.
Hey! Flirt with my wife.
No, I wouldn't think of it.
How's Dad?
He's not getting any younger. You're gonna love Dad. He's a really sweet guy.
Should we tell him?
Tell me what?
Why not?
Listen, I don't know how to tell you this. You're gonna be an uncle. Serena's expecting a baby in the fall.
Oh, that's wonderful. Hey, congratulations. Oh, does that mean I get to kiss the bride again?
No, no, that's my idea. Come on, let's get out of here.
Serena beams as she walks on between the two brothers. Later, in a modern city block, the three of them arrive in the private lift of the penthouse.
Good to see you again, sir.
Thank you, Thomas. It's great to be here.
Brad.
Hi, Dad.
Brad and his father embrace.
And this is Serena.
Mr. Fullerton.
Charles, please.
I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to our home.
Well, thank you. It is so very nice to meet you.
Soldier boy.
Hey.
How you doing, old buddy? You look great.
You too. Listen, meet Serena.
Well, this is a real pleasure. Welcome from the bottom of my heart to the bosom of our family.
Greg is the toastmaster of the family.
Thank you.
Where's Mother?
Oh, I meant to tell you on the way over.
She's not here.
Your mother was terribly sorry, but you know all those charities she's so involved with. You remember?
Oh, I remember.
But she'll be here this evening for dinner and, well, look at the time. Greg and I are going to have to head for the office. We just wanted to be here when you arrived.
Thanks, Dad.
Come along, Greg. Congratulations once again.
Thank you.
I'll catch you later.
All right.
All right.
Well, come on, honey. Let's make ourselves at home.
You should know, Patty Atherton is coming to dinner. She's going with Greg these days. They're kind of engaged. Mother thought, what with her being part of the family almost already.
No, that's fine. It'll be good to see her again.
Well, I have an anatomy class. I'll see you at dinner.
Okay.
Teddy heads off.
Brad, I'm sorry.
For what?
Your mother not being here. It's because of me, isn't it?
She needs a little time to get used to the fact that I'm staying out in the army. That's all. Mother has this habit of trying to run her children's lives. Well, everybody's, actually.
And that girl that's coming to dinner tonight? Isn't she the one that you were engaged to before the war?
That is ancient history. All right, you forget about her.
He kisses her.
I have.
Will that be all, sir?
Yes, thank you, Sally.
This is such an incredible city.
There's nowhere like it. I think you're going to find Marin County a bit different.
Well, maybe you could be a soldier in New York instead of California.
I would, except soldiers have to go where they're sent. Besides, I'm not sure about living
Brad.
This close to my...
Oh, Brad!
Mother.
Oh, wonderful to see you. It's so good to have you home and safe. I'm sorry, I couldn't be here this morning.
Oh, please, that explained. It's all right.
There's no guarantee you'd be on time, and I had so much to do.
Sure. Listen, I'd like you to meet Serena.
My dear. Well, I certainly see what my son sees in you. Your first time to New York?
First time in America.
I hope you enjoy your visit.
It's a little more than a visit, Mom.
Yes, of course.
And we have some news.
Time for all our news over dinner. Serena, why don't you come to my room a little before dinner, and we'll have a little talk. Just the two of us.
Of course.
Mrs. Fullerton gives her a look, then leaves.
I think she likes you.
Come in. Close the door, please. What a lovely dress.
Thank you.
Sit down.
There's something for you on the table. A check. For $50,000.
I don't understand.
It seems to me that you're not only an attractive girl, but a very intelligent one as well. So, let me speak frankly. I've had inquiries made in Rome. I know all about your family.
Yes.
Your Uncle Giovanni, for example, was executed for murder, and your late father, Vittorio, died while in prison serving a sentence for theft.
They opposed Mussolini, and they were killed for it.
Well, even if what you say has any truth to it, this marriage will not continue.
What? What are you saying?
My son comes from a very different world from yours. This is America, where an elected official cannot have a wife with an exotic past.
But Brad has never said that he wishes to be in politics.
Brad's future has always been very clear to everyone. From prep school through Harvard, politics was his passion.
But he told me that
I'm his mother. I know more than you. The reality is, you are only a small part of what is a temporary rebellion that will pass.
That is not true.
Don't be naive. Take the money for your trouble. Together with whatever else you've acquired, like that pin. Brad always did have exquisite taste.
This was given to me by my mother. This is all I have left.
Well, then the check should be all the more welcome on condition that you agree to an immediate divorce and leave the country. Very well, very well. How much?
I married Brad for his love. I want nothing else except the child that we're expecting.
A child. You really have thought this through very, very carefully. All right, $100,000 for you to disappear with this child and never be heard from again. Now, Serena, close the door, please. If you really love my son, we have one more piece of business. It's legally binding. Sign this. And if Brad ever leaves you or should die without a will, neither you nor any offspring of this marriage will have any claim against his estate or any family money.
Why should I sign this?
Because at least then I'll know whatever is between you is heartfelt.
Mrs. Fullerton holds out a pen. Serena takes it. Considers for a moment, then signs the document on the desk. Then, her face composed, she looks up at her mother-in-law.
Now you know.
She gets up and walks out. Soon after, Teddy's dressed for dinner and walking along a hallway.
Serena?
He finds her crying on the stairs.
What is it? Tell me, please. I think I better go find Brad.
No, no.
Then tell me, what's wrong? Here.
I can't.
Is it my mother? Tell me, or I'm going straight to her.
No, don't. Please don't.
Then talk to me.
She had this paper.
Serena? Honey? And you actually signed this?
I thought if I signed it, maybe she would see that I truly love Brad. There was nothing else to do.
If you truly love Brad, you'll tell him.
No, I don't want to come between him and his mother. It would not be right.
Serena! Tell him.
No, and don't you either. Promise.
Well, there you are. I'm looking all over for you.
What's wrong?
nothing.
What happened between you and Mother?
Nothing. We just talked.
Forgive me, gentlemen, and Mrs. Fullerton. Your mother wishes you to know that dinner is about to be served.
Yes, thank you, Thomas. We'll be right down. Shall we?
Serena takes Brad's arm. Then they proceed down the stairs with Teddy behind them.
There you all are.
Patty, I'd like you to meet my wife. Serena, this is Patty Atherton.
Welcome to America.
Patty shakes Serena's hand with a smile, looks her up and down, then turns away to sip her martini. At dinner, a tipsy Greg gets to his feet.
Ladies and gentlemen, I wish to welcome to our family our very own Italian princess, the Principessa Serena Alessa?
Alice.
No, wait a minute. I wrote it down somewhere.
That's enough, thank you, Greg.
No, we gotta get this right, Dad.
Greg knocks back his brandy, then turns to Patty.
Where did I put that?
For heaven's sake, Greg, you're drunk. Sit down.
All right. I know when I'm not being appreciated, I can take a hint. And as you're all being so boring, Patty and I are going out to the cub room to enjoy ourselves.
Excuse me.
Brad leaves the table, then goes to find Greg, who's pouring himself a large whiskey from a decanter.
Why are you drinking so much?
Thirsty.
You didn't used to be like this. What happened?
Brad, you may be the conquering hero, home from the war, but get off my damn case.
I'd like to understand. That's all. Maybe help.
Help? From you? From either of my brilliant brothers. That's rich.
What did we ever do to you?
You left me holding the bag is what you've done.
I don't understand.
Everybody expected you to go into politics. All the way to the White House. Mother probably even picked out the hat that she was going to wear for the inauguration. But what happens? She winds up with a career soldier instead of the commander-in-chief.
And?
And now Teddy wants to be a doctor instead of going into the business with Dad, which makes me the only one left.
So?
So, I'm not a politician or a businessman.
Greg, listen, you don't have to do anything that you don't want to, all right? Nobody can make you.
No, I guess not. Unless you're a coward, which I am.
Shall we go? You're in no condition to drive. I'll have the car brought around.
Principessa Serena Alessandra de Santobaldo.
Greg smiles faintly at Brad, then allows Patty to help him out.
Who is it?
It's Brad.
That'll be all, Peggy, thank you. Come in, dear.
I have to talk to you.
He waits until the maid's left.
I want to know what happened between you and Serena before dinner.
Just a little private conversation between women.
Mother, don't try to interfere between Serena and me.
Let's not spoil your homecoming, darling.
You made up your mind before meeting her that you weren't going to give her a chance. She's my wife. She's going to be the mother of your grandchild.
Just tell me one thing. Was she expecting when you married her?
No. Good night.
Wait. Brad. You know what we've always expected of you.
what we've dreamed of for you. This army career and this marriage aren't going to work. But think what you're throwing away. You'd have money. You could go right into Congress now and then the Senate, and then who knows how far in time. Darling, it's your life.
Mother, I've chosen the life that I want. Please, don't try to make me into something that I'm not.
I'm only trying to keep you from making a terrible mistake. That's all.
Maybe it's best if Serena and I left for California in the morning.
You're walking away from a brilliant future for what?
For a career that fulfills me and a woman who loves me. It's as simple as that. Goodbye.
Looking upset, Mrs. Fullerton sinks onto the arm of a sofa. Marin County, California. In the porch of a spacious detached house, a heavily pregnant Serena's directing Brad and Teddy as to where to plant a small tree.
No, over this way more.
They pick up the fir tree, then carry it a little way across the lawn.
No. I think it would be better in the corner.
Make up your mind, will you?
Well, this is very important, this tree. It grows as the baby grows.
You know, when I decided to come out here for school, I hadn't planned on adding a gardening class to my schedule.
Did you ever hear a tree surgeon? How's this? Teddy! Serena? Me?
Okay. He's having the baby.
I'll call the hospital.
Do it later.
We gotta do something.
We're gonna deliver a baby.
But we can't.
Shut up. Do exactly what I tell you.
What?
Okay, help me get her inside.
Here you go, Daddy.
Oh my God.
Teddy carefully presents the baby to Brad, while Serena looks on tearfully from the bed.
Look at her.
Oh, look at this. Oh, she's so beautiful. Vanessa, meet your father.
Oh, yes.
Teddy, I don't know how to ever thank you.
I don't know what we would have done without you.
Well, you and Vanessa will always have this bond. We all will.
Yeah.
She's beautiful.
Vanessa nestles in her father's arms, with all three of them gazing down at her lovingly.
If it wasn't for Uncle Teddy, I never would have made it into the world that night. He was always my hero.
Vanessa's learning to roller skate.
That's it. Come on. Come on.
Wonderful. Aren't you the bravest birthday girl? Look. Look who it is.
Hi.
Uncle Teddy.
Hey, birthday girl! Come here! Hold on tight!
Whee!
Look what I got for you!
Uh-oh!
Oh.
Hey. Come on, you.
Let's go!
Oh, I'm so glad you could come. Sorry.
That night, the brothers are on the porch.
I'm glad you got this internship out here. You'll be able to keep an eye on the girls while I'm away.
Away?
Korea.
You being posted?
Yep. Now they're sending me on an advisory mission. It could take a week, maybe a month. It's impossible to say until I get over there.
How's Serena taking it?
Oh, she's upset. But I'm only over there to observe the situation and report back. I've tried telling her that I'll be home before she even knows I'm gone.
Yeah? Well, how's she gonna notice you're gone?
Little brother, when you grow up, I'm going to explain to you exactly what happens between men and women.
I studied that.
Later, Serena and Brad are lying in each other's arms in bed.
I love our life. I love everything that has happened to me since I met you. I'm just so afraid to lose all of this. So perfect now.
Well, almost perfect.
Well, what do you mean?
That lamp in the dining room. I mean, if only I had repaired that lamp before going off to war, everything.
Stop, that's not funny.
No,
it's not funny. Miss you.
They share a passionate kiss.
The worsening situation in Korea is causing increasing concern in Washington. American forces engaged in what President Truman continues to call a police action, following the North Korean attack across the street.
Serena's raking leaves in the garden when a U.S. military car pulls up in the driveway.
Turning to Marin County news and weather.
Seeing a soldier walking towards her carrying a folder, her face begins to fill with dread. He removes his cap, then stops in front of her. As her eyes fill with tears, he looks at her with compassion. One soldier in white gloves passes a folded Stars and Stripes flag to another, salutes, then steps back. While mourners look on, the flag bearer marches around Brad's coffin with all due ceremony, then presents the flag to Serena. She looks at the flag uncertainly before tearfully taking it, then glances at Teddy, who's standing by her side. The soldier salutes to her. Young Vanessa looks along the mourners at her grandmother, who meets her innocent gaze with a frosty stare before turning away. Clutching the flag to her chest, Serena walks to the end of the grave, bends down, then grabs a handful of soil. She slowly sprinkles it over Brad's shiny grey coffin. The last of the dirt falls from her trembling hand. Then she breaks down in tears, her face etched with unbearable grief. A little later, a carpet of leaves covers the frozen ground around the cold grey gravestones. Still clutching the flag, Serena peels away from the other mourners, then hurries to catch up with her mother-in-law. She walks away.
Mrs. Fullerton, please, I want you to have this.
Mrs. Fullerton turns around, then slowly takes hold of the flag, which is folded into a triangle, with just the white stars against a blue background showing.
I'm sorry that Brad's father was too ill to come. Please wish him well for me.
Mrs. Fullerton turns and walks away without a word. Patty and Greg follow on behind, with Greg pausing to touch Serena's arm as they pass. Then Teddy comes over, holding Vanessa by the hand.
A flag seems such a small thing to give to someone who's lost so much.
Who was that, Mama?
That was someone who loved your father very much.
The chauffeur-driven family car sweeps away.
What am I going to do without him, Daddy?
Serena fixes a light.
Can I help?
No. This is something I need to do.
Well, how about letting me help you out financially? An army pension won't cut it.
Teddy, I will find a job.
At least let me talk to a lawyer friend of mine. I'm damn sure that paper my mother had you sign can be challenged in the courts.
No. When I signed that paper, I accepted its conditions.
We both know she was out of line.
Teddy, listen to me. I meant what I said to your mother. I want nothing from this family. I want nothing for myself. If she ever wishes to do something for her granddaughter, I will not stand in her way. But so far, she has not even acknowledged that Vanessa exists. And I don't imagine that she will. So, you are very kind, but there's nothing to be said, nothing to be done.
Still so sure of yourself, aren't you?
Yes.
I'll always be here if you need anything.
Thank you.
Remember that.
I promise.
He leaves, and she looks concerned. Later, a radiant Serena steps out in a beautiful white wedding gown.
She made a lot of promises, to me and to Uncle Teddy, and she kept them all. She found a job, which was the beginning of her modeling career.
Guys, next setup. Excuse me. Mr. Stafford?
Yeah, I'm Clem Stafford.
Hi, I'm a friend of Tom Howe's. I think he called you about me.
Yeah, you're the guy from the hospital, Dr.
Fullerton. Teddy Fullerton.
Yeah, but Tom said he had a job for me.
I do. I wanted you to take some pictures for a portfolio. I'll be paying for the session on one condition, that you never tell her it was me that hired you.
Fair enough.
Oh, great.
Now, in a studio, Clem takes photos of Serena wearing a variety of elegant outfits.
Mama never knew Uncle Teddy was behind what happened, but he made sure those photographs were seen by a woman in New York. A very important woman, as it turned out. The fashion industry's most powerful modeling agent.
Beautiful.
Serena arrives at the Kerr Agency.
Kerr Agency, may I help you? One moment, please. Kerr Agency, may I help you? Yes, one moment, I'll check.
Yes, thank
you. Kerr Agency, may I help you? One moment, please.
I'm Serena Fullerton.
Kerr Agency, may I help you?
Yes.
Yes, I've given him the message. Thank you. Kerr Agency, may I help you?
Serena steps away from the desk to look at some framed photos on the wall.
Oh, you're here. Good. I'm Dorothea Kerr.
Serena Fullerton.
Yes, I know. Welcome to New York.
Yes, it is.
Turn around. Oh, wonderful. Even prettier than your pictures. You are lovely, my dear.
Thank you.
You know, I've only had this hutch 3 times in my career, and all 3 times I was on the money.
On the money?
An expression. American. It means, my dear, that you and I will be rolling in good old-fashioned American greenbacks.
Yes, well, I wanted to discuss my daughter.
Oh, well, I have my assistant working on finding you a nanny.
Well, I want to make it clear that she must come first.
Oh. How about a very strong second?
No, always first.
Oh, well. I admire that. We'll see what we can do,
Now, in a first floor apartment of a New York City townhouse.
We took an apartment that a friend of Uncle Teddy's helped us find. New York was much more exciting than California, even though we lived in a tiny apartment. For the next couple of years, our life was comfortably crazy. Mama hired a full-time nurse to look after me because soon she was working so hard.
The kindly nurse shows Vanessa photos of Serena in glossy magazines.
But I didn't mind, because it was fun seeing her in all those magazines.
Vanessa points to Serena on the cover of Flair. Time passes, and Vanessa picks up a storybook for Serena to read to her.
Even though she was away a lot, I always felt our time together was special.
Dorothea.
Vasily Arbus called personally from London to book you for 2 days.
I'm very flattered. I know that he's wonderful.
Wonderful, darling. He's better than wonderful. He is top of the heap right now.
But I've been working nonstop for months, and I was hoping to get away for a few days with Vanessa.
Just do this one photo shoot for me, darling, and I'll get you out of everything else as long as you like.
All right. All right.
Oh, and a word of warning, however. He's half Greek and dangerously handsome.
I'll keep that in mind.
In a studio.
Good. Right there. Hold it. Beautiful. Beautiful. Happy chin. Down. Right there. Hold it.
Wearing her mother's shooting star diamond pin, Serena enters and watches Vasily Arbus work with 2 models.
Beautiful.
Hold it. I want another one just like that. You guys look beautiful. Beautiful.
Lips out. It looks beautiful.
Over.
Good, good. Okay, now look at each other.
Hold it right there. I want one more of that. Beautiful.
Good. We got it. David. David, David, David.
His assistant David takes the camera, then Vasily goes to get a cigarette. But when he sees Serena waiting, he instantly drops the case, goes over to her, and holds out his hand.
I'm Vasily.
Serena.
Would you like something to drink, some coffee, anything?
No, thank you. But perhaps I should start with my hair and makeup, and if you show me where I can put my things, I'll start.
Relax, relax. I wanted to meet you.
To meet me?
Mm-hmm. It's the way I work.
When do we start shooting?
Tomorrow, the day after? Whenever we're ready. See, it's important for me to get to know my models first.
Oh, really?
Have you had lunch?
Well, no, I thought we would be working.
Everyone, that's it for today. Except for you.
She looks mildly surprised. As the studio clears, he goes over to a telephone to make a call, and she steps forward and watches him.
Nikki, it's Vasily. Listen, I want you to send him some food. Mm-hmm. For two. That's
fine. She smiles, and he leans on the pillar holding the phone and smiles back at her. After lunch, they sit on a couch with glasses of wine.
So, is it true what Dorothea told me? Are you really a princess?
Oh, well, yes, as a matter of fact, I was.
You were? Whatever you were, you're going to be very famous.
Oh, stop. You're the famous one. It must be so exciting.
Exciting? Exciting is Joe DiMaggio at the plate. I just take pictures.
Well, how did you begin?
Well, here's the short version. I was born in Athens when I grew up here. Then I moved to Paris, became an assistant to a brilliant photographer there. And then I fell in love with the city and every beautiful woman in it.
Have you ever been married?
Once. I was younger.
You need children?
I wish.
Under his intense gaze, she smiles shyly and sips her wine. Dorothea's leafing through a selection of artistic shots of Serena, wearing a selection of glamorous outfits.
Serena's on line four.
Darling, darling, congratulations. My phone's going to be ringing off the hook when these hit the fashion pages.
Do yourself a favor. Start looking for a penthouse or maybe a place in the country. Because you are going to be making big money.
Oh, Dorothea, this is all thanks to you.
Well, and a little credit to Vasily. When's he back from Paris?
Tomorrow, unless he can get an earlier plane.
Well, tell him he's a clever boy. This is the best work he's ever done. I think he must be in love.
Don't jump to conclusions, Dorothea.
Well, I'll talk to you later, darling, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Serena smooths down her hair, then goes to answer her apartment door.
Teddy!
I was gonna call.
Oh, it's wonderful to see you! How are you? Come in. What are you doing in New York? Teddy? Are you all right?
Dad had a stroke. He died late last night.
Oh, Teddy, I'm so sorry.
Thanks. His funeral's gonna be on Thursday. I know he would have wanted you to be there.
Oh, no, no, of course, I understand. He was very kind to me.
I loved him a lot.
And he knew that.
Uncle Teddy!
Oh, hello, gorgeous. Hey, come here. How are you? Hold on! Listen, why don't you grab your coat and we'll all go out to lunch. Oh. Do you have plans?
No, we would love to.
Oh, great. I could use some cheering up.
Great.
Vanessa runs off.
There's something else I have to tell you. I volunteered for the war in Korea.
Daddy, no.
It's not as dramatic as it sounds. I'm going as a medical officer, not a frontline fighter. It's the least I could do.
But why? Is this because of Brad? Do you feel like you have to do what he did?
It's because they need doctors. It's as simple as that.
Promise me that you will be careful.
Yes, I promise. I have every intention of coming back here and seeing you again.
I'm ready. Can we have hamburgers?
Hamburgers, of course we can. Let's go.
As Teddy and Vanessa hurry out, Serena hangs back for a moment, looking concerned. Then she picks up her coat and follows them.
I'm all done.
You have a bit of ketchup. There you go.
Can I look at the pastries?
Yes, you may, but you can only choose one, okay?
Do you have time for dessert?
Just. I have a meeting at the agency in about half an hour. And I was going to take Vanessa with me because she loves to play Dorothea's assistant, and Dorothea hates it.
Well, I'll drive you.
Are you sure? We can take a cab.
No, I'd love to. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. You have been such a wonderful friend to me, Teddy.
He looks downwards.
What? What is it?
I don't know if I can get this out.
What?
You must know that I'm... I mean... I know you can never forget Brad. And you don't have to say anything, but I have to tell you. I'm in love with you.
Oh, Teddy. I know, I think I've always known. But what I feel for you is...
Oh, stop. This was a mistake.
No, Teddy, please. I'm so sorry.
No, there's nothing to forgive. I just...
But I feel so bad.
I took a chance in telling you and... But if you or Vanessa ever need anything...
I know. Thank you.
May I have the eclair, the chocolate one?
Vanessa sits down.
Why are you looking at Mommy like that?
Because she is so very special. Just like you.
You know, Teddy, you didn't have to come all the way up with us.
But I want Uncle Teddy to see your picture.
Really, I don't mind.
Here she is.
Oh, what a beautiful photograph. Thank you. Subject wasn't too bad either.
What are you doing here? I wasn't expecting you until tomorrow.
Yeah, I have a meeting about the shoot in Barbados, so... This must be Vanessa. I'm very pleased to meet you. I'm Vasily. I'm a good friend of your mother's.
Hello.
And this is my brother-in-law, Teddy Fullerton.
Teddy, how are you? I've heard all about you. You must be very proud of our girl.
Yeah, proud, but not surprised.
Listen, are we still on for tomorrow night?
Yes. Good. Yes.
Well, I should be going. It was nice to meet you.
You too.
Thank you.
I love you too.
Excuse me.
Serena takes Teddy's arm, then accompanies him to the lifts.
Teddy, please come back to us safely. Be careful.
Goodbye.
She kisses him on the cheeks, touches his face, then walks away, and he watches her go. Vanessa stands looking heartbroken. She waves and gives Teddy a sad little smile, and he smiles back, then turns and walks away.
If there was one memory I could rewrite, one afternoon I could rearrange, it would be that moment when Teddy left and Vasily stayed. Our lives would have been so different.
The adult Vanessa clutches the shooting star pin. 1 year later...
This armistice will, in fact, bring free peoples one step nearer to their goal of a world at peace. As President Eisenhower announced the armistice, American troops pack up and start the long road home from Korea. To welcome them, wives and sweethearts reunite in joyful celebration.
I've heard enough. I'm going home. Thank you for lunch. Goodbye, darling.
Goodbye, Mother.
Oh, Teddy's here.
Hello, Mother.
Darling.
Hey, Greg.
Teddy.
I am so sorry we weren't able to make it to your welcome home party the other night. I was feeling a little under the weather.
Darling, you should stop by your father's tailor and get out of that uniform. You've been home 3 days.
Well, I've had other things on my mind, Mother.
Appearances still do count in this
Mrs.
world.
Fullerton,
oh, now don't forget the Hamiltons' dinner party on Friday. They've invited a wonderful surgeon from the Mayo Clinic that you should meet. He could be of help to you.
Thank you, Mother.
Bye, then.
Goodbye, Mother. Come on in, huh? You look great. Just great.
And you are putting a little weight on there, Greg.
We
have to get you on the squash court and work on that.
Oh, no, not me. How about a drink, huh? Something to celebrate the hero's homecoming.
Yeah, thanks, but it's a little early for me.
Oh, yes. Well, I guess you military types, huh?
So what was Mother doing here? I thought Thursday was Red Cross Day.
She was visiting Patty. They're very close. So much alike, really. She's gonna be delighted to see you. Welcome home.
Hello, Teddy.
Patty, how have you been? You look terrific.
Thank you for lying. I'm doing as well as can be expected. And you, well, you're a big hero now.
Oh, really, Patty?
No, there was a picture of you at some ceremony yesterday. Greg, what did you do with that newspaper?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not sure where I put that.
If you would just lift your drink.
Greg does so, so Patty can lift up the newspaper that's underneath it.
Well, everybody gets a medal in a war if he sticks around long enough.
I'm afraid that I've stuck around here long enough. I'm sorry, I've got an important appointment at the club.
Dress warmly, dear.
I'm so happy you're back. I hope that we can have lunch soon. Or dinner. You and me at the club, like old times.
I'd like that, Greg. Uh-huh.
A little unsteady on his feet, Greg heads out.
What happened?
Nothing happened. He just went on drinking the way he always has. He doesn't even go to the office anymore. They've asked him to stay at home and not embarrass the clients.
Well, can't he get some help?
He doesn't want help. He wants to drown himself in a pitcher of martinis, apparently.
And the two of you?
Teddy, when you're married to a drunk in our circle, you slowly cease to be. We've been dropped by almost everyone. Well, except your mother.
But it didn't have to come to this.
No, it didn't have to come to this. I could have married Brad.
Patty, sometimes you have to accept what you can't change.
Don't lecture me. You're still carrying a torch for your dead brother's wife.
You have no idea how I feel.
He walks out. Central Park is covered in a blanket of crisp white snow. As a couple pull their daughter past Teddy on a sledge, Serena arrives and runs into his arms.
Teddy! Oh, I'm so glad you're home and you're safe.
And look at you! Success agrees with you.
Thank you, sir. Vanessa is so excited to see you.
Oh, I have a surprise for her. And for you, too, actually. Tickets to Peter Pan.
Teddy, we would have loved to go, but Vanessa and I are leaving for the Mediterranean on Saturday.
Oh.
With Vasily.
Oh.
Teddy.
I'm not gonna like this, am I?
Vasily asked me to marry him.
And?
I said yes.
Kind of sudden, don't you think?
Well, yes, but I think sometimes it happens that way.
Yes. Sometimes.
Teddy, please be happy for me.
I am.
They set off arm in arm through the park.
Mother married Vasily, and we all went on a honeymoon to the Mediterranean, where we stayed with Vasily's brother. Everything seemed so magical. Everyone seemed so happy.
A chauffeur-driven car drops Serena, Vasily, and Vanessa outside a beautiful villa.
Hey. Vasily!
Hello! Oh, it's so nice to meet you.
Vasily's brother and his wife greet them warmly. Then they head off towards the house, which is set in its own landscaped grounds. Later, Vanessa's by the pool, while Serena and Vasily are on a balcony.
Mommy, come down and swim!
All right, darling, I'll be down in a minute.
Okay.
She's a little princess, just like her mother.
Oh, and you're in my knight in shining armor.
Oh. Well, I hope so.
You are.
I want to be.
So much.
I love you.
They share a tender kiss.
Mommy, I'm waiting!
All right.
I'll be down in a minute.
Okay.
As she walks away, a slightly troubled-looking Vasily puts his glass down on the table, then sits down. Serena joins Vanessa by the poolside.
Are you ready for something to eat?
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Are you having a good time?
Yes.
Good, good.
Mommy?
Mm-hmm.
You like Vasily, don't you?
Oh, I like him very, very much.
Like Daddy?
No. No. It's different. Do you understand?
I guess. But you're happy.
Oh, I'm very, very happy. We all will be, I promise.
On the balcony, Vasily opens a case full of drugs paraphernalia. He tips two white pills from a bottle into his hand, then knocks them back dry. Above the entrance to a hospital, a sign reads, Admittance. Inside, Teddy and a colleague enter an office.
Of course, there were other complications. The man was a mild hemophiliac. Mm. I felt that we would have lost him if the procedure had taken any longer.
Try the packed ice technique. You read my article.
Of course. Say, Teddy, do you think you could do me a favor?
Sure.
I'm about to see a patient who's urgently in need of the same operation. She's terrified. She's under psychiatric care. Could you have a talk with her?
I'd be glad to, Matthew.
Terrific. Go on in.
Dr. Beach.
Hello. I'm Dr. Fullerton.
Dr. Beach will be right in. He's just taking a phone call.
Hello.
Why don't we have a seat and talk? Now, I understand your concern about this operation. The very words heart surgery would send a shiver down anybody's spine.
Okay, tell Dr. Chandler I'll meet him on his rounds at 3. Thanks, Benny.
So you can see it's not half as dramatic as it might seem. Oh, Dr. Beach. I was just explaining to your patient here that...
Teddy, this is Dr. Haynes, my patient's psychiatrist.
Well, I certainly feel foolish.
I would think so.
So you're a doctor.
Yeah. It's a brave new world.
I'll say.
They smile at each other. Sometime later, in the snowy park, Teddy and Dr. Haynes buy roasted chestnuts from a man, then walk off hand in hand.
I loved Linda from the start. Probably because I could see that Uncle Teddy loved her too. Even though I wasn't supposed to understand things like that, I could see that somehow they were right for each other.
The fifth? Let me see. Just a second.
Teddy lays down the phone. Then he and Linda arrange an elaborate train set.
This goes here, right?
Yeah, that's perfect.
No, I'm sorry. The fifth won't be possible. Yeah, we already have an engagement with Linda's family that we can't get out of. Me too. And I'm sure Linda will be really sorry. But we'll manage something soon. Okay. My best to Vasily and a big hug for Vanessa. Thanks, bye.
What was that all about? We are busy on the 5th.
If you think I'm going to spend one of our few evenings together in a room full of people I don't know and don't want to know...
I hope that's the only reason.
What do you mean?
Well, maybe you're trying to avoid Serena.
Why would I want to do that?
Because you're still in love with her.
Hey. I'm in love with you. Now, don't you know that?
They kiss passionately and accidentally set off the train set. Below, then kiss again.
I cannot believe you're willing to leave the party so early.
Did you really enjoy yourself?
Yes, of course.
And the guest of honor?
Yes. Why?
I just want to be sure. Because I invited him and the rest of the party back to our place.
Oh, Vasily, you always do this. You know you have to get up early in the morning. It's already 11 o'clock.
Well, then I'll stay up all night.
I don't know how you do it. Don't you ever need any rest?
I have the constitution of an ox.
Well, nobody can keep up this pace forever. Not even a big Greek ox. Please take care of yourself.
Okay.
For me,
All right.
I love you.
I love you.
They share a sweet kiss on the lips, then head inside. The next morning, the apartment's a mess, and a man's lying crashed out between two chairs. A maid is going round collecting dirty glasses on a tray. Vanessa comes running down the stairs in her nightgown. She looks into the party room, then hurries back up the stairs. She pads across the landing, pops her head into a bedroom doorway, then proceeds to the bathroom. There, she finds Vasily on the floor, in the middle of injecting himself in the arm. She looks at him in shock.
Hello, Vanessa. You looking for your mommy?
Yes.
She's still sleeping. She's very tired. We don't want to wake her, do we?
No.
Maybe you should go back to bed. Is it still early? And if you can't sleep, you can always read. That'd be a good idea.
Yes.
Vanessa.
She turns back to him.
Honey, what you just saw, I was taking my medicine to make me strong. Because I have to work all day. You understand?
Yes.
So, will you promise me not to say anything?
Yes.
Still in shock, she gives a brief nod, then walks away. As he watches her go, she turns back to look at him, then carries on her way.
Good. Okay. Right, good, like that. Now bring your chin over right there. Hold it. Now look at me. Hey, let me see your eyes. Okay, good. Okay, let's do that last pose. Back. Right there. Good. Hold it. Okay, that's it. Everyone, next setup. You know what it is. David.
Vasily hands David the camera, then walks away looking tense. Serena notices and goes after him. When she sees him knocking back some pills, she hesitates. As he tries to relieve the tension in his neck, she comes up behind him and runs her hands up his back.
Why don't we break for lunch? It's been a long morning.
No, I can't stop. I have to finish this by tonight. I'm way over budget. Those idiots down at Madison Avenue, they're all over my back. I just have to keep going.
Just a half an hour, honey. You just look so tired.
No, it's better if I keep going, okay? I'm fine.
What were you just doing back here?
What?
I just saw you take something.
Vitamins. Just vitamins. Honey, don't worry. Okay?
She nods.
No, damn it! Not there! I told you! Over here! People, we've gone over this a million times. I guess I have to do everything! What are you doing with this, huh? That is not right. This is not right. This is not right. Figure.
He shouts to his assistants.
Vasily!
Don't touch me!
Now at the hospital.
Daddy.
Do you know how long he's been using drugs this heavily?
No. I had no idea. I don't know what to do. I've got to go see him.
No. No, he's sedated. It's better that you don't see him right now. He's in very bad shape. If this goes on, he could kill himself within a year.
How did I not know? I should have known something was wrong.
It's not your fault. The worse the addiction, the more clever the addict is at hiding it. The important thing now is the proper treatment.
We'll do whatever you say.
Well, I think the best place is a clinic in Vermont, although Vasily keeps insisting on going home to his family.
Oh, his brother, the one who lives in the Mediterranean.
Well, maybe it's the best thing.
Okay, I'll arrange that. Thank you, Daddy.
Linda sees them embracing and doesn't look happy. As Serena leaves, Teddy turns and sees Linda watching them. When she runs off upset, he chases after her into the stairwell.
Linda!
No, just leave me alone.
We have to talk.
There's nothing to say. It's obvious you're still in love with her. A blind person could see it.
You're wrong, Linda. Of course I love her, but I'm not in love with her.
I don't believe you.
Marry me.
Why? Because Serena's walked away from you again?
That's not fair.
Not fair? I've been waiting for you to let go of this Serena fantasy for a long time. I'm just not gonna do it anymore.
I love you!
Ignoring him, she hurries on down the stairs, and he hits the banister in frustration.
A month later, Mama left me behind in New York while she went to Europe. She told me she wanted to see if Vasily was better. But I was worried about her.
Serena joins Vasily in his brother's garden and smiles at him sadly.
How do you feel?
I feel wonderful. Wonderful.
Is that true?
Of course it's true.
How would I know the difference between the truth and a lie?
I never lied to you.
How can you say that? How can you say that? Every time you drugged yourself in secret, you lied to me.
I just wanted to be the man that you loved. I used whatever I could to be that man.
Why? Why?
It's just so hard to talk about.
Help me to understand, please.
When I was younger, I always dreamed I'd do great things through my work. And when success finally came, I wasn't really sure I deserved it. I was invited everywhere, offered everything.
I still don't see. I don't see why.
I guess somewhere along the line, my fame became fear. Fear that I wasn't good enough. The drugs, they filled that space where my confidence used to be. But it's over. It's over.
I'm so afraid to trust you.
No, don't be. We can make a life together. A good life. You, me, and Vanessa.
It's not just Vanessa now.
What are you talking about?
I'm pregnant.
Oh my God. That's wonderful.
Is it?
We'll make it wonderful. We will. You know we can. Together. Please. Please.
He wraps his arms around her and closes his eyes. Clinging onto him, she runs her hand through his hair. Her face is still etched with concern. At the hospital, Teddy tears along a corridor carrying a beautiful bouquet of flowers. He enters a room where Serena's sitting up in bed holding her new baby with Vasily and Vanessa.
You look beautiful.
Oh, no. But she looks beautiful. This is Charlotte Francesca.
After Serena's mother and my mother.
You know, it's so funny. We have all these doctors and equipment, all to do what you did by yourself all those years ago with Vanessa.
She looks beautiful. Just like her big sister. How are you doing?
Happy. Oh, Mommy, can I hold her again? Can I show Uncle Teddy?
Sure, Miss Wheat, come on up here. Are you ready?
Be careful.
Get her head.
Good. And Vanessa, give your baby sister a big kiss for me, okay? That's good. Good. Perfect. Congratulations, both of you.
Thanks. Thank you.
You're a lucky man, Vasily. Listen, do you mind? Oh, not at all. Thanks.
Teddy takes Vasily's camera.
Okay, say cheese.
They all grin, a happy family unit.
Once again.
Later, Greg's waiting for Teddy to get changed into his black tie.
I'm ready. I just don't want to keep Patty waiting in the car. It's the first charity event we've been invited to in a while. And where's the lovely Linda? Is she ready?
I'm going stag tonight.
She's working at the hospital?
I don't know.
You don't know?
We're not seeing each other anymore, okay?
And why would that be okay?
It just didn't work out.
Wait a minute. She's smart. She's beautiful. She loves you and your trains, and it didn't work out.
Come on. Let's not keep Patty waiting.
Let her wait. I'm intrigued. Illuminate me. What happened? You don't love her.
I do. But, Linda broke up with me. That's all.
And you're just letting her go.
Just forget it. You wouldn't understand.
And I wouldn't understand it because I drink a little. My career's in the toilet. My marriage is a joke. Let me tell you something, you condescending son of a bitch. That's exactly why I do understand.
What got into you?
The weak one makes bad choices. That's expected. But the strong one, the smart one. Teddy, we expect more from you.
Linda left me. She left me.
And your choice is to let her.
Well, what else can I do?
Figure it out. You're the smart one. Now, if you're ready to go, I don't want to keep my wonderful wife waiting.
The two brothers head out. Serena's searching through drawers.
It was in a box about this big.
I don't remember.
We bought it together.
Oh, that little bracelet for Charlotte.
Yes. Oh, this is so frustrating.
Where should I look?
Well, why don't you pretend that you're looking for a birthday present that I've hidden for you?
But I'd never do that.
Oh, no, of course, you never would do that. But why don't you just imagine where you would look if you did, okay?
While Serena wanders off to answer the phone, Vanessa knocks a small case off a shelf. All of Vasily's drugs paraphernalia spills on the floor, and she quickly picks it up and puts it back.
That was the agency calling.
Serena looks down at Vanessa questioningly.
Vasily's medicine.
She holds up a syringe. Serena kneels down beside her, takes the syringe, then lets out a sigh.
Darling, I don't think that we're going to find what we're looking for tonight. It's almost your bedtime, so why don't you go get ready and I'll come read you a story, okay? Go, go.
Vanessa sets off, but then turns back.
Mommy?
Yes?
May I have this?
It's a medal.
This belonged to your daddy. Because he was very brave in the war. Of course you may keep it. He would want you to have it. Okay, you go to bed. Okay, sweetheart, I'll be there to read your story in a minute. Go on. I love you.
I love you.
Having put all the drugs things back, Serena snaps shut the case, hugs it to her chest, then breaks down in tears. Later, she puts the case down on the coffee table. Now wearing a flowing pink dressing gown, she hugs herself, then comes to stand by the fire. She picks up a framed photo from the mantelpiece. It's the picture Teddy took of them as a happy family at the hospital. She strokes the photograph, then stares off into space. The front door closing snaps her back to reality. Then Vasily comes in and instantly sees the drugs case. Upstairs in bed, Vanessa is woken up by their arguing. Down the stairs, Vasily jumps over a fence, then runs off into the night along the slippery, snow-covered street. Vanessa stands in the doorway and discovers Serena lying in a pool of blood in front of the fire.
Mommy!
Vasily sprints out into a road and is knocked down by a car. He rolls across the road but is still alive. The driver gets out to check on him. A few concerned witnesses gather round, then a policeman arrives. Vanessa kneels by Serena's body. The lush trees of Central Park, flanked by Manhattan high-rises. A lit fire is surrounded by toys in Vanessa's room.
Vasily never went to trial for my mother's murder. His brother Andreas pulled strings and had him committed to a clinic in Europe. He stayed there until he died, 10 years later. The courts gave Andreas and his wife custody of Charlotte. She left for Europe, and one by one, everyone I loved disappeared from my life.
The court made its decision, and it's out of our hands now. Hell, they weren't about to hand her over to an unmarried uncle. Kids need a home, a family. That's why they gave the baby to Vasily's family and Vanessa to us. It's normal.
Normal? Neither you nor Patty had even spoken to her before her mother died. You're hardly even speaking to each other.
I told you, Patty always wanted children.
We'll find somebody else's.
Mother says that Patty and I are
I'll
more than ready
myself,
to take
myself, Greg. Thank you. Be reasonable, Teddy. The child's lucky to have a home at all, considering who her mother was.
Is that what this is about? Making this child's life miserable as a way of getting back at her mother?
Please, Uncle Teddy.
I can't.
Please.
I can't, sweetheart.
Vanessa, would you let her go, please?
Look, I'll be back. I'll see you soon, I promise.
Vanessa, dear, please, come to Nanny.
Go ahead.
I think you better leave, Teddy. You're not helping.
I'll leave. But I'll be back. And if anything happens to this child...
Don't be dramatic, Teddy. The only thing that's going to happen is the girl's going to be raised by a mother and a father in a proper environment.
Proper?
There isn't a judge in Manhattan who won't find this an appropriate environment for a child.
Beyond a bridge, the lights of the Manhattan skyline twinkle in the night. Teddy answers his door.
Uncle Teddy.
Hey, Vanessa. What are you doing here?
I ran away. I want to live with you.
Dr. Fullerton, I'm sorry. But she just ran right past me.
That's okay, Bernard. Thank you. Come on in, honey.
With Vanessa tucked up in bed, he turns off the light.
You go to sleep then. I'll just be next door. You call out if you want anything.
You won't let them take me away, will you?
Don't worry about anything. Just go to sleep.
Okay. As he leaves the room, she turns onto her side. He goes to answer his door again.
She's here, isn't she?
Yes. You know, we're going to have to take her home.
She doesn't want to go.
This isn't about what she wants, or what you want.
Get out of the way.
I'm sorry.
Brushing past Teddy, Greg follows Patty inside, leaving Teddy looking powerless. In court.
In the matter of Fullerton versus Fullerton, all sides having agreed to this informal hearing, the court will consider the motion brought by Theodore Fullerton concerning the future custody of Vanessa Fullerton.
Bring the child up here, please.
A court official gently guides Vanessa up to the front. Mrs. Fullerton is sitting in the public seating, watching impassively. Looking nervous, Vanessa takes a seat next to the judge's desk.
Vanessa, I'm going to ask you some questions, which I want you to answer truthfully. Do you understand?
She nods.
Are you happy living with your Aunt Patty and Uncle Greg?
She shakes her head.
Speak up, please. I can't hear you.
No.
Why not? Well, now, they're kind to you, aren't they? Answer me, Vanessa.
They buy me lots of toys and things.
Well, that means that they're kind to you, doesn't it? Tell me, Vanessa, do you miss your mommy and your baby sister very much?
I don't have a baby sister.
You mean your sister's gone away? Is that what you mean?
No. I never had a baby sister. It was just mommy and me.
Do you remember your daddy? You remember your daddy, don't you? Tell me about him.
He died in Korea.
And what happened after that?
Mommy and I stayed in California. And then we came to New York.
What happened in New York?
She died.
Do you remember how she died?
She fell and hit her head.
Was anybody else there?
No. It was just Mommy and I. We lived alone after Daddy died.
Now, let me be clear about this, Vanessa. You and your Mommy lived quite alone the entire time you were in New York.
Yes.
Do you remember a man named Vasily?
No. It was just Mommy. Only Mommy.
Court will recess until 2 p.m.
The court official leads a tearful Vanessa away by the hand. As the judge gets up and leaves, Patty stands up and turns to Greg.
I had no idea.
Tentatively, he puts his arms around her, then they hug. At the hospital.
Linda!
Linda stops, then turns to Teddy.
I've been reading the papers.
Yeah, it's been tough.
How are you handling it?
Not bad. Better than I thought. But I miss you.
Me too.
Well, we could fix that.
Oh, really? How would we do that?
I want something
someone real. I want you in my life.
You assume I'm still single? Okay, I am.
I deserve that. So what do you want to do? Get married or what?
Why don't we have lunch and talk about all this?
I can't. I have to be back at the courthouse by 2.
So what are you doing? Squeezing me in?
Please, please, have dinner with me.
If you insist.
Grinning, he backs away, but still keeps looking at her. Then, when he takes a step back towards her, she waves at him, then clutches her hand to her heart with a smile. As he starts walking away, he turns back and smiles at her. At the courthouse, Teddy and his lawyer are about to step into the judge's chambers when they meet Mrs. Fullerton on her way out. She looks at Teddy, then carries on her way without a word. The judge sits down at his desk.
Dr. Fullerton, this is a very unusual and troubling case. It's obvious that the child is seriously disturbed, and her condition has worsened considerably since the original hearing. However, after a lengthy discussion with your mother...
If I could just...
Judge!
Forgive me. I think you should know that my mother's views on this matter are influenced by a very serious prejudice she has...
Please, let me finish, Dr. Fullerton. Your mother has made it clear to me that your devotion to the child has been exceptional, and the most important element of continuity in her life. In short, she has convinced me that the original custody decision was flawed. Therefore, subject to certain provisions for supervision and the establishing of proper psychiatric counseling for the child, I'm awarding final custody to you. In fact, your mother made it quite clear that she'd make my life hell if I came to any other decision. Frankly, having met her, I'm rather inclined to believe that she would.
Thank you.
On the court staircase.
Mother. I don't know what to say.
I've done all I intend to do. My feelings run too deep to play any part in this child's future. From now on, she's your responsibility.
Thank you.
I hope you'll continue to thank me. You may have taken on more than you realize.
I'm not afraid.
Good.
What made you change your mind?
When I saw the unhappiness in that child this morning, I found myself thinking, what would your father have done? He was a kind man. You got that from him. Though he didn't have your strength of character, that comes from me. Although you've put it to much better use than I ever did.
Mother.
And I thought about Brad. I think about him all the time. He once said that I didn't care about his personal happiness. Well, I'm late, dear.
Teddy wraps his arms around her and hugs her tightly.
I'll call you.
Please.
She smiles at him, then carries on down the stairs.
Uncle Teddy!
Vanessa! Come here. Hold on tight.
As he spins Vanessa around, Mrs. Fullerton watches, then walks off with a smile.
Linda!
Vanessa runs into Linda's arms, then Linda gives Teddy a kiss on the lips.
With Uncle Teddy and Linda's help, I gradually unlocked the memories I'd been hiding from, coming to terms with everything that had happened. Charlotte was 11 years old before Andreas allowed me to see her. He was trying to protect her from the past, while I had been struggling to face it.
The adult Vanessa arrives at Andreas's villa in a chauffeur-driven car.
Looking back has taught me that I'm different from Mama. Maybe because she came from a different time and a different culture. But I choose to take charge of my own life, to go out and find my happiness.
The chauffeur opens the back door and Vanessa steps out, wearing a stylish cream skirt suit and white gloves. She hurries towards the villa. Charlotte runs out to greet her in a red dress. Then the two sisters embrace.
Charlotte, I'm your sister Vanessa.
I'm so glad you're here.
I have something for you. This was Mother's. I want you to have this.
She puts the diamond shooting star pin in Charlotte's red dress, and Charlotte's smile briefly turns into Serena smiling. Then Vanessa hugs her tightly again. She puts her arm around her little sister's shoulders, then the two of them set off through the beautiful gardens towards the villa. A flashback to the night Vanessa was born, lying in her parents' arms with Teddy.
There's a kind of star, a supernova, I think it's called, that shines brightly but is gone quickly. Mama was like that. And that's how I'll always remember her.
Thank you.